open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
Here with former North Dakota State wide receiver, running back, return specialist, slot guy, Ryan Smith, a man who wore many hats, won a lot of games, and won a couple championships as well. How have you been, man?
Been doing good. Just happy to be on the show and, you know, helping out any chance I can get, and just been living in Wampton and kind of doing all that. So
yeah, you had a, you know, interesting path, I would say. I know for sure one of the main things that was written when Gene and Joe Chapman decided to go to D1 was, well, you can kiss all the North Dakota athletes goodbye. We won't compete in Division I with North Dakota athletes. Kind of bring us all the way back to that point. What was your high school experience like living in WAP, and what was it like to be recruited by the Bison? Because you were kind of part of the group that created the dynasty. It's not like when you were getting recruited by Coach Bull, it's not like there were three rings sitting on his desk.
Yeah, and prior to high school, I'll talk about, you know, the guys behind us and previously from us. They laid the groundwork to everything that we accomplish in this era now. But, you know, leading up to high school, I always thought I was going to be a track runner, run track for NDSU or be close to home and all that. But, you know, my junior year was kind of my coming out party in high school. I had a big game, I remember, like it was kind of yesterday, versus Jamestown. I rushed for 388 yards, I think it was. Six touchdowns or something like that. And then it was really no looking back after that. And I remember I got, going into my, I think it was during track season. I got a couple of letters from NDSU and all that. And then I was sitting in my basement playing video games or Xbox or something, probably, or watching WWE, one
of the
two.
Sure, phenomenal uses of your time, either way.
I got looked at my phone. It was a restricted phone number that was calling me. I think it was like April 15th, because it was the first day that you could make an offer to somebody. I remember it. Anyways, answer it. I was like, hello, because it was a strict phone call. I was like,
telemarketer, somebody, your warranty's out.
So very enthused about the phone call. Hello? He goes, is this Ryan? I'm like, yep. Ryan, well, this is head coach from North Dakota State. It's Craig Bull. I was like, oh, my gosh. So I was like, hold on.
At least you believed him.
Yeah. Yeah. So I ran upstairs quick, went outside, and had a chat with Coach Bull, and he offered me a full scholarship to play at NDSU. I was like, ah, that's awesome. So I never really looked back after that. And then
So you almost viewed your recruiting as closed as soon as you got the North Dakota State offer?
Yeah, and I was recruited by University of North Dakota and then University of South Dakota too. And, you know, as soon as I got the NDSU offer, I think I knew in my heart what I wanted to do, but I just kind of wanted to go through the process because this was a once-in-a-lifetime deal.
Yeah.
So, but I enjoyed it, and, you know, just going up to, I mean, being going to school in Fargo, 45 minutes away from home, it's a blessing too.
Mom and dad got to see you play every game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. So
you're brought into North Dakota State as a tailback, because as you mentioned, I mean, all those rushing yards, you and the Huskies had, were you double A ball at the time?
Yep. So we were double A. So we moved down a division going into my senior year.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're coming from double A North Dakota ball. You get to North Dakota State. They keep you at tailback that first year, correct?
Yep.
So talk to me about, because we actually had a chance to speak to Chase about this exact same conversation. Talk to me about the, oh yeah, you're not redshirting discussion.
Yeah. So my biggest thing was wherever they wanted me to play, I was going to compete my butt off to try to get onto the field.
Yeah.
You know, obviously our NDSU has some very, very good running backs. I think their DJ was there, Sam was there, Lang was there, Voigt was there, and I mean, it was just deep. And so the only...
Still are.
Yeah, still are.
Still are.
Yep. So the only chance I saw myself getting on the field as a freshman was special teams. So special teams return man type of guy, and you know, I was fortunate enough to...
Is that something, not to interrupt, but is that something that you had done at WAP?
Yeah, I did it.
Eventually, you probably got a little too valuable to the team to be back there all the time.
Yeah, I don't think I went off on the field. I was even on kickoff team in WAP. I was a kicker in WAP. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's okay. How bad it was. But, yeah, I just went out before practice, caught punts during practice, after practice, you know, whatever chance I could possibly do to get on the field just to catch. And, you know, I knew I could run and was going to be dynamic enough too, so.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So you get down to, I believe your first game, correct me if I'm wrong, but is at Kansas?
Yep.
So describe kind of the feeling going out for that first putt return. What are you, 18? Are you 19 by that point?
I'm 19 by that point. I just turned 19 in August. So.
Okay, so you're 19 years old, and your first experience is going out and catching a punt against a Big 12 team.
Yeah. So I remember just having kind of in my head a little bit, just, okay, you arrive at the stadium, you know, you look how big the stadium is. I mean, there's seats all around, and you know, Big 12 football, it's like, okay, this is the real deal now. Like, you're going to play against some dudes.
Yeah, I was just playing Devil's Lake. Now I'm
exactly.
Now I'm playing KU.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember Coach Bull coming up to me. He goes, Ryan, you catch the first punt, and then it's business like usual. So sure. First punt, was a fair catch, caught it. Then I got a kick return and returned that, and, you know, never looked back since. And
after that, everything felt pretty...
Yeah, pretty, yeah.
Just like every other competition you've been in since you're in the
league. Sure. Yeah, you know, let's just get the nerves out of the way, and then it's just business as usual after that.
So what was kind of the feeling? What was the conversation surrounding that team? Because as I mentioned, I mean, you did not come in when things were fantastic. I believe the year prior was that the 3-8 year?
3-8 year.
Yeah, so your high school senior year, the team goes 3-8.
Yep.
I mean, people don't understand that. Like, North Dakota State hasn't won every single year in existence. What did that win against KU mean for the program? And like I said, what was that fall camp like? I mean, what was the message?
Yep. And I think you go back a little bit to our recruiting class that came in. You know, they recruited us really hard, you know, the commits that we had and the players that we had, we knew we were going to be special. It's just a matter of maturing and getting to that junior to senior range. Actually came prior to that, but
right.
You know, getting there, but just to lay a statement down, even if we did, I think we won 6-3.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, even just to win a game in a Big 12 stadium with our kind of backs against the wall, you know, that was a big deal for the program. Huge deal for the guys on the team. And you know, that those guys on the team 9-5, that was really my first taste of what we needed to do in order to start winning football games.
Sure.
Because they honestly, the seniors in that year, they deserved a ring because they laid every single stepping stone for what we needed to do in order to have success.
So you I mean, just because you have a phenomenal relationship with Brock, right? You guys lived together in college. Did you come in with him?
So I came in the year prior to him. So since I didn't redshirt, I was technically part of his class.
Okay.
But my class was like Billy Turner.
Okay, so you know,
Billy, that's a bad example because
Billy also didn't redshirt. Yeah.
So yeah. Travis Beck, Kylie Manuel, Trevor Gebhardt, all those guys, that's who I came in. That's who I came
right.
in.
Right. And then you left the year. Well, Zach played till he was like 30, but yeah. Everybody else. So when you, that next year then, in 2010, that's Brock's freshman, right?
Redshirt freshman year. Yep.
Kind of describe that quarterback battle because I believe Jose was involved. I think Dante Perez took some. I mean, guys just couldn't stay healthy. But when did you know that, like, Brock was the guy?
Yeah, and you see it because his freshman year, it was a little kind of just up and down with, you know, people were getting hurt and, you know, no one could really stay healthy. And it just, the moment of the game, that's with the quarterback that kind of was there.
Yeah.
Whereas you saw Brock progress in spring ball going leading up to his sophomore year. I mean, he got so much better as a quarterback and, you know, understood the game a little bit more because it's a different game when you get into college and from high school and, you know, just adapting to what he needed to learn and how to progress on the field and continue to get better every day. And he showed that in spring ball and into fall camp too.
Bringing it back to you then, but prior to that, your true sophomore year, you make the position switch.
Yep.
What goes into that conversation? Which coaches did you talk to, and why was that in the best interest of yourself and for the team?
Yeah, and the conversation started, I think, towards like the last quarter of the year. The receiver coach came up and talked to me.
The prior year, you mean?
Yeah, okay. So during my freshman year.
While you were taking snaps at tailback, yep. But not really getting much time other than yep. returning.
Yep, and so we had the conversation, and I was like, yeah, whatever I need to do, you know, I'll try to learn fast. And I tell you what, it was probably the hardest transition that I've ever had to do, one of the hardest things. Just taking football from a different viewpoint.
Because you had played tailback since, yeah. I mean, how?
Yeah, since I've
ever, been,
yeah.
basically?
That was my since position. Ever? Yeah, okay. Since I started playing football. And just to be able to get in and out of breaks without looking stiff or, you know, being stiff and just be fluid and all that. And, you know, spring ball was tough, was really tough. And that was kind of, I always say there's one moment in your college football career or anything that you do, you were like, I don't.
Or really, either make it or you don't.
Yeah, I don't really want to do this. Yeah. And you just got to push through that. And that was my moment right there. Push through it, and I just kept on getting better and getting better and getting better. And, you know, the summer, from spring ball to summer, that was a huge transition period for me because I didn't have a coach screaming down my back. So this was my time that I could actually take and, you know, work on the things that I needed to work on and progress and go into fall camp fresh and ready to go.
So you are part of that group then that I'll never forget, because you know that Reed Dixer and I are yep. friends, and we were both big Packers fans.
Yep.
Had tickets to go to the Vikings-Packers game. I think that was actually the year they won the title.
Yep.
And we get a call because you guys go down to Missouri State and lose 3-0.
Yep.
And he's like, we're not going to playoffs.
Yeah,
and we get a call. We're in St. Cloud. It's like sleeting, and it's the receivers coach. You got to get back. We got a meeting at 3:00. So Reed gives us his ticket to sell, leaves, and goes back to Fargo.
Yep.
And then this run kind of starts. I mean, describe that playoff run with a team that most people,
yeah.
you know, I mean, the first game, and then what happened out of Montana State was just. I mean, yep. describe kind of that first taste of playoff football.
Yeah. I remember as a freshman, I was like, all right, I know the dome's going to be packed. I want to make a play. So I tried, you know, despite whether I made a fair catch or, you know, I tried to not fair catch anything that game, I remember. And it was a bad decision by me. But, you know, you wanted to make a play because you wanted to hear switch momentum and try to get the crowd going a little bit. Yep. And, you know, just that playoff run, though, I mean, playoff atmosphere and bringing to the dome, that was huge. And to go to Montana State and just put a whooping on them, too, that felt really good. And then I believe we went to Eastern Washington.
Yep.
And that's what kind of started. Yep. Yep.
So were you on the field for that play?
I was on the sidelines.
Right, right. But yeah. I mean, like, you weren't in.
No,
because
no,
it
no.
was probably a heavy package.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, what was that feeling like? And how much did that feeling that stuck in your gut? Because you guys knew not only were you coming back next year, but basically the whole crew was going to come back the year after that. Did you guys know, like, okay, this is what it took to get here.
Yeah, and that's what started all of this. You know, it's that chip on our shoulder that, okay, we did everything right, but we put the game in the ref's hands.
Yeah,
right?
We might have even had something taken away from us.
And, you know, you look to my sophomore year now, that's where the beast got unleashed. I mean, we came out with the chip on our shoulder every single day in practice, every single game, and knowing that we had a bullseye on our back because we're going to take everyone's best shot.
Chat a little bit about that Minnesota game, because that, in my opinion, was your coming out party. As far as my opinion of, like, your college career, that's when I was like, all right, this kid from Wampton can ball, and he's figured out this slot receiver thing. I know we had Cole in here. I know that game was so incredibly important to Marcus and Cole and Billy and all the guys that camped with the Gophers, thought they should have been Gophers and ended up at North Dakota State. They're all glad they ended up at North Dakota State, but, I mean, these guys felt like they should have played Big Ten football. Talk about it from your teammates' perspective, and then, honestly, like I said, this is when you really answer the bell.
Yeah. Just as far as, like you said, our guys from Minnesota, you know, right away they – obviously deserved a spot on that Minnesota team, but I'm so thankful that they played for North Dakota
You're
State.
You're really glad that Billy blocked for you guys. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So, and it's, you could just tell that the difference in teams, you know, we, one thing why we were so good is because we were very well coached and we used, I mean, we played with a lot of effort, you know, we finished every single play, and that's was a key thing in that game. You know, you look at when Hegel intercepted that ball and he kept running and pitched the ball back to Marcus. When he pitched the ball back to Marcus, everyone stopped in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But we kept going. When we...
That ball bounced as flat as possible and right back up. Yeah.
Yep. And then even I was just watching one of DJ's runs and, you know, just as far as our 320-pound linemen are sprinting on field to try to make another block when DJ's 20 yards ahead of him. I mean, 20 yards behind him.
Yep.
I mean, or ahead of him, sorry.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's just...
That's probably not going to affect the play, but they still want to impose their will.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we learned. I learned my freshman year and brought it into my sophomore year, and that was a huge deal.
Did that, I mean, that had to feel a completely another level beyond even what you guys felt walking off at KU.
Yeah, that was cool because close to home, you know, they, obviously Minnesota overlooked a lot of the guys on NDSU. And so just to go and just absolutely pound them felt good. Felt really good. Yep.
How long into that sophomore season did you guys address the championship?
You know, we set goals during the season, and number one goal was always to win the conference.
Still is.
Still is.
Yep.
Yep. Win the conference, make the playoffs, win the national championship.
That's so it. That was something you guys said out loud from the beginning.
Yeah. That's what Coach Bowles said to us from the beginning. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And, you know, the groundwork to get there, it's been laid, and all we got to do is go out and compete and pay attention to little things and destroy team. I mean, just work hard on other teams.
How incredible was that Georgia Southern playoff game?
Yeah, that was the loudest I've... I know the Dome got loud our junior year, but my sophomore year, that's the loudest I've heard the Dome. I remember my sophomore year going out there, and defense just made a big stop, and I was going out to return a punt, and I couldn't hear. Everything was ringing. I was like, whoa.
Like that scene in Friday Night Lights when it's actually silent because it's so loud?
Yeah, it was really, really loud. That was the loudest I think I've heard the Dome. As far, like I said, I know it got loud the junior year, but that's the loudest for me. That's the loudest it's been.
The tradition that of jumping into the student section, was that, I mean, did you guys jump in that first year?
Yeah, that was our thing right there. Yep, that's what we started, and I don't know how it came about or what, but people started jumping in the stands, and we started celebrating with their fans and student section and all that.
It had just been phenomenal.
Yeah, it was a heck of a feeling.
How cool is it that you guys can say, like, we were the first? Because now, I mean... It's a science. NDSU fans know what bars to go to. Right. They know what hotels to stay at. Yep. They know when the team's going to be where. The team knows when they're going to be where. It's like, this is our regiment. But, I mean, what was that like to have that be new and fresh? And, you know, the bowling thing or the I don't know, the wing-eating contest or whatever in the world they have. But, I mean, that first trip has to be... I'm sure 13 was special, but that first trip has to have something.
Yeah. First trip was... I just remember there being... a lot of nerves, you know, not a lot of nerves, but just really not knowing what to expect until, like, going to practice and getting off the plane, literally getting off the plane and going to practice, and then going to different events and all this, and so everything was, we traveled the same, but it's just new because we were in a different setting, and now you see national championship stuff all over the place and all that, and our coach told us to always just be in the moment and soak it in because you don't know if you're going to get back. And that's what we did. And I enjoyed every single moment of it, especially being the first time. It was pretty cool. And just knowing that we had an opportunity to start to create a history.
Sure. Yeah. And now they've won eight. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just nuts. I'm sure, and we're kind of skipping over a season here, but we got a lot to get to with you. I'm sure 2012 was cool.
Yep.
Obviously, Colorado State, the rematch with Sam Houston State. But I think the game, outside of course the title games, the game I think that really defined your class or your era was Kansas State.
Yep.
You notoriously got cramps.
Yep.
And it was 103 degrees on the field.
Yep.
What is your memory of that game? I think a ton of people give NDSU strength and conditioning folks credit for that game,
yep.
Despite the fact that it was on home field. But, I mean, these guys are defending Big 12 champions.
Mm-hmm.
You're not favored. And you guys had a goal of an undefeated season, which would not work out if you lost that first game in Manhattan. What were your experiences at Kansas State?
Yeah, that was, by this time, shoot, I had three Division I A school belts. I mean, we beat
right.
three teams in
yeah.
a row now.
Yep.
So it's,
yep.
you know, going into Kansas State, it's just another one of those games. And, you know, I remember going up, leading up the game, Coach Ball really wanted us to, we kind of, you know, there's a lot of people banged up on the team from fall camp. And I remember, you know, having about two or three practices where we kind of took it back a notch just for the fact that we wanted to be fresh for this game. And
LP was suspended too, I think.
Yep. So I'm not sure. I don't quote me on it. I'm not sure.
Sure, but I mean, I remember health issues and,
yep.
you know, the disciplinary things or
yep.
whatever. That
yep.
team was a little shorthanded.
Yep, but, you know, getting there, I mean, it was, I felt like it was 100 degrees on the field and, you know, we're sweating before warm-ups and I'm drenched, absolutely soaked, and just to go out there and, you know, give them our best shot too was pretty awesome, because I know, you know, Big 12 football, reigning champs of the year, or last year, and
that
all
team
that.
Goes on to beat Michigan in a bowl game.
Yeah. So for us to go out and beat them and, you know, not only make a comeback, but just to stomp them in the fourth quarter, which was awesome. That was a huge, huge momentum boost going into our rest of the season.
Well, and I think it was a big, in the same way that the win over Iowa in 2016 was, like, you can hear the excuses, right? Well, they beat Ball State. Who cares? Well, they beat Central Michigan.
Yep.
Who cares? The Gophers were terrible. Kansas was terrible. Colorado State was terrible. This was a 7-8 win K-State team coming off a Big 12 championship.
Yep.
I mean, this really puts you guys, frankly, in the conversation of, like, no, we are one of the best 20, 30, 40 teams in
yeah.
the whole country.
Yeah.
And we are the class of our division. Had a couple of close calls in the regular season. Like I said, that undefeated deal was a goal. What do you remember about that Northern Iowa game against David Johnson?
Yeah, he was really, really good, obviously.
Still.
Plays for the Cardinals. You know, I take it back to, like, my sophomore year, because that was kind of when we played Northern Iowa in the Dome. That was kind of our coming out party a little bit, too. You know, just as fact.
Finally got that off your back.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that place was a house of horrors.
Yeah. So to play them with the team that we had, you know, we knew, I don't know, I was in the back of my mind, you know, despite what the score was, I knew we were going to win. That's just me being, I guess, an optimist. But, you know, that was a really close game, and I remember the same thing. It was hot in the Dome that day for some reason. I was sweating my butt off. It must have been running too much. I don't know. But Brock got that touchdown on a skinny glance route, we called it, in the red zone. And I think that put us ahead, I'm pretty sure. But that was a heck of a game.
Yeah, something like Sam scored and Zach scored in the fourth late. I just remember David. I mean, I love Grant, but he just running by Grant Olson, like, he was standing still. He was on another level for sure. And then the coronation, I felt like just the everything that you guys put into those 3 years to just stomp Towson like that.
Yep.
What was running through your mind on the podium, knowing that this was what you had left as a legacy, and also, though, knowing that that was it. You weren't going to wear four again.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing that the feeling that I had on that podium was, okay, I'm done with college football, and I'm on top. Like, there's nothing higher that I can do. Yeah, I won three national championships. My senior year, went undefeated. We won a championship, and that's what I told the younger guys. I'm like, if you guys get to the national championship and you win, there's literally no better feeling as a college football player that you can have, to know that you're going out on top. And
one team gets to feel that way.
Yeah, one team gets to feel that way. Exactly it. So that was my feeling, and I still carry it with me today, just as far as, you know, there's not a loss hanging in the back of your head, coulda, shoulda, woulda done this. No, we did everything we did, and we did it very, very well, and that's why we won.
pro day at North Dakota State is a little bit different now, I would guess, than it was in 2013.
Yep.
How long after your victory over Towson, or the team's victory, obviously, over Towson, did you kind of know you wanted to keep trying?
I always, since I was a little kid, I always told myself if I had a shot, I'd take it. And I knew that, you know what, might as well do it. If I, no one wants me, screw it, I'll find a job. But, you know, I kind of got the, you got to be lucky sometimes. That's what pro football is, college football, whatever.
Yeah.
And I got, you know, I ended up having a really good camp with Saskatchewan. I went to one of their mini camps and, you know, I played very, very well. And then I got invited to their training camp up in Saskatchewan. And then, yeah, I made some plays and was consistent and learned the game relatively fast. And yeah.
Sure. Ended up with Winnipeg.
Yep.
What kind of NFL interest was there after kind of your more prominent seasons in Canada?
Yeah, so there was, after my second year, there was some NFL interest. Houston Texans came knocking at the door a little bit. And then, you know, going into the CFL also, Texans were also knocking on the door, kind of, you know, come to our mini camp, come to this. And you know, all I wanted to do, I knew my best shot to play was in the CFL, so I just did it. I didn't care about money. I just cared about football and cared about playing and, you know, see what I could do with it.
Sure. Then what all kind of went into the decision to retire? Because you were relatively young to retire, and in my opinion, still successful. You're still producing.
Yeah. I think I was 26. You know, one thing that caught me was I just kept getting hit in the head, kept getting hit. And, you know, from your first year to your third year, you can really tell the difference of when you start taking a blow and, you know, it hurts a little bit more. And I just couldn't do it anymore. And, you know, I long-term outlook, I wanted to be healthy. I want to have a family, I want to have kids. And I don't want to forget my kid's name when I'm 50.
Sure. You
know? So sure. That was a big thing for me.
Makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's a very obviously real concern.
Yep.
Trevor obviously is a friend of yours and is our main football guy at Bison Report. And I don't know how serious he is, but he always tells me, he's like, man, they wouldn't even offer me a scholarship now. What is your thought process as you see a guy like Christian Watson, 6'3", probably runs a 4.3? I mean, you guys made a ton of plays, but just the level of athlete that's in this receiver group, I think from just a raw talent perspective, this group has a chance to be the best one I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, year after year, it's just they continue, obviously, to get better and to get better athletes, too. That comes with winning and recruiting. But, yeah, you look at the players now, and you look at the people that won the first national championship, you're like, shoot, I wouldn't have played. I wouldn't have got a scholarship either. I'm 100% with Trevor. You know, it's just like, because that's the power of winning. I mean, you start to get really, really good players. And obviously, I think character is a huge thing, too. But athletically, I mean, these guys are gifted. And they can run, and they can jump, and they can catch. And shoot, they're ready to play by the time they're a true freshman, you know? So,
have you had any, I mean, do you help out at all? Do you have any contact with a guy like Phoenix who plays a little slot? Or, I mean, are you kind of there? Not necessarily that practice and stuff like that, but are you sort of there for the younger group?
So I, you know, I really enjoy talking to Darius Shepherd.
Okay.
So I think he's with the Packers, and you know, I tried to keep to myself when I was playing, just for the fact of like how I did things. You know, this was my opportunity to really shovel all my knowledge to someone else's brain of how I got open and how to work a route and how all of this. And, you know, so I really, if he has any question or anything, he sends me videos about him running routes, what can I do better and all this. And, you know, I try to critique it as much as I can and just tell him what I would do and I would think. And I think that's it's helped him a lot, you know, just for the fact of someone that's played the slot position and, you know, has as many reps as I have had in it and everything, too. And, you know, that's who I've stayed in contact with as far as players from now.
Sure. I mean, but that's kind of how you pass the legacy on. Hopefully Phoenix is talking to Darius, which I think he is. And, specifically, I think that slot position is such an important spot. I mean, we'll talk about the evolution of that position. So much of North Dakota State football is 12 personnel, 21 personnel, 22.
Yep.
But you guys found that, like, we need to attack these linebackers, safeties, nickels in the slot. Now they're doing it with jet sweeps and yep. fake jet sweeps. And yep. It's just such a versatile role. And I think you were a big part of kind of pioneering that. I mean, I know they did stuff with, you know, John Majeski. You mentioned, like, the guys that came before yep. you. John Majeski played that spot. They used Travis White in that spot a little bit too. But I think really the evolution where the run-pass threat was kind of something that you kind of helped pioneer. So what are you up to now? I mean, you're officially retired. I think you're yeah. on your way to softball now. we saw some of your softball ability at the charity softball game yeah. last year, which had to have been a ton of fun.
Oh, it was a blast. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's one of the many things that we lost this summer was another opportunity for that
yeah.
charity softball game. But yeah, tell the folks what you've got going on now in life.
So after I retired, I immediately went through the interview process with Edward Jones. I've been a financial advisor for them for going on 3 years now.
Okay.
So it's going really well. You know, the biggest thing that I have is I need to try to get in front of as many people as I possibly can so I can obviously grow my business.
Sure.
So, you know, it's been going well, and it helps living in Wampton, being in a community that I'm known, and I know a lot of people there too, which is sure. which is nice. But yeah, I spend my time working, spend time with my wife, going to the lake, and I love slow pitch softball.
Awesome. Yeah,
love it.
All right, man. Thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it. Appreciate having me.